Good afternoon, everyone. It is time for Living the Good Life, and this is a brand new beautiful day and a gorgeous day in Clearwater, Tampa Bay. Let me tell you, absolutely beautiful today. So we're glad you're joining us, and it's going to be a great show. As always, I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. Along with me are my associate pastor, Pastor Jim Ellsbury, and he'll come on here in just a minute as soon as we can get his mic on, etc. And Nan's in the studio, as she is a lot, and Cindy will be joining us from Indiana, Cindy Logan. Part of our radio team and part of my church, like Betty and Megan were when I pastored in Indiana. So it's going to be a great show, and we've got a lot to talk about today about what God is doing in our lives. What a beautiful, beautiful time to be able to just talk about all his blessings. And Pastor Jim, we just came from the nursing home. I don't know about you, but I just had a wonderful time. Did you?
It was wonderful today. I mean, the... we just had so much neat stuff happen. I mean, all the residents there were really into it.
Oh, they were singing like they are. We're there the first Sunday of every month at Palm Garden Clearwater, and it was really great.
It was great. And then that nurse, Elizabeth.
Yes, Elizabeth.
From Cuba, I believe.
Right,
she
was, yes.
She came in, and you and her started doing these duets. And
in Spanish.
In Spanish.
Boy, that was fun. And that woman's got some pipes on her.
She surely does.
Well, she started with a duet with Nathan, and then it went into all the Spanish songs. But, man, that was great.
And then the lady sitting next to Nathan.
Yes.
I don't remember her name, but she was such a blessing. And, you know, as we do every time we're there, we go around and shake hands with all the residents.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And just, you know, bless him and just talk to him a minute. And she grabbed a hold of me.
Yeah, yeah.
And she said, "It is so good when you guys are here."
Oh, that's
because
great.
Because she said, "You bring life to this place. Otherwise, we just lay around and sleep."
Oh.
But you bring life.
Wow. You know, we've been there 5.5 years, I guess. We started going there when my mother was living there and when one of our church members, Jeannie, was living there. And they asked us to do a service a month. They actually asked us to do more than one, but it's with schedules, it's hard to do more than one. So we're there the first Sunday of every month, Palm Garden, Clearwater, corner of Curlew and McMullen Booth. And, you know, it is a joy for us. I mean, it is really fun to be able to go there once a month. The whole the nursing home team just loves to go, don't we, Pastor Jim?
I do.
Yeah.
It's such a blessing to be a blessing.
Appreciated like that. Yeah.
Yeah, and I told her, I said, "You don't know what a blessing it is for us to be able to come up and minister to you all."
Yes, it is.
I wasn't making it up. That from my heart. To be able to minister to them is such a wonderful thing.
Well, you know, the whole concept of the gospel is about giving, you know, giving and then receiving, you know, and as we give of our time and our talents, even for this show right here. We're in our 9th year, which doesn't even hardly seem possible. Almost ready to start our 10th year on the air. And it is amazing to know that there is just such a joy and a blessing when we give of ourselves in our time, in something like this nursing home ministry, in this radio ministry, when we give of ourselves, we always end up being the one that's blessed. Don't you think, PJ?
Amen. Well, and given it shall be given unto
Amen.
You.
Amen, yes.
Good measure, pressed down, shaken, running over.
Right.
You know, and that's not just talking about money or material goods. It's talking about blessings in general. And, you know, we give and we just get back so much.
Well, it's just like Nan sitting in there in the radio station with you in the studio. I'm in the control room. But every Sunday, Nan goes over to the restaurant right behind us, and she gets these amazing French fries that are probably some of the best around. And not once has she shared one with me, Pastor Jim, but I see you both in there now gobbling them up. Now, in all fairness, Nan, you offer to me every week, which is very nice of you. But I know that if I started eating one of those, they are so amazingly wonderful, I would not want to stop at just one. That's the problem. You can't eat just one.
Maybe I would be able to. Maybe I would be able to stop you from eating
yeah,
more than one.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I noticed you sharing with people out here that were just on the show before us. And I mean, you really do have a sharing heart today when it comes to your French fries. And we're very proud of you for that. So anyway, giving her a hard time. But, you know, seriously, when we give, Pastor Jim, when we give of our time and our resources, when we give of our enthusiasm, our joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And when we are giving that away today to all those dear ones, I mean, people packed in the room, down the hall, nurses. The person that I did the duet with in Spanish is a nurse who was standing at the door singing, and then she came in, and I realized, I said, you speak Spanish? Yes. And then we just started singing different songs in Spanish. Fun, fun, fun.
It was fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, the word got out.
Yeah.
That didn't sound.
Amen.
You know what I mean.
It's yes.
Like we got the word out.
Right.
Nan did.
Nan spoke.
A real good job.
She did a great job.
But we had, it was just fun
yeah.
today.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of our ladies, regular ladies, was not able to be there.
Right.
And we all stopped by her room as we were leaving and
right.
did our, you know,
yes.
waving at her, make
yes.
sure she knew. We still, you know, we.
She was, yeah.
She was
yeah.
in isolation, so we
right.
couldn't go in. But
right.
we could at least stand there and wave
right.
and let her know, you know, we're caring for you.
Right.
We're praying for you.
You know, that's what the gospel is all about. And this show is all about giving out. We give out week after week and have now for 9 years. And it's a joy to have invested this amount of money into the gospel over these years, mm-hmm. Pastor Jim. It is really great. I love the fact that we have such dedicated radio team members who want to be here. And God is always faithful, isn't he, to provide?
He is. He's, well, you know, I've been treasurer for a while now. And he's always faithful. He's always made sure that we have the money for the radio show. And I like what you said. It's an investment.
Yes.
We invest into the radio show.
Right, we do.
We sow into it so that we can reap a harvest. And we're believing that,
Amen.
You know, we're sowing the word and we're going to reap a harvest of souls because of it.
Absolutely. And so we're going to start this show with a song by, and I know she's no longer alive, Vestal Goodman. Remember the Goodmans? Boy.
Mm-hmm.
And she did a duet with the Newsboys years ago. I don't know when this happened, but it's one that we've used before on the air. Wanted to start today because of the title, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Listen to this.
Change.
There she is. Praise God. Woo! Vestal Goodman and the Newsboys. Great is thy faithfulness. Let's begin with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for this opportunity to be on the air today. We thank you, Lord, that we can bring forth your word, your gospel in freedom and liberty, that we can teach your concepts, that we can talk about you without having to hide, without having to be worried about somebody that would not allow us to be on the air. We thank you, God, and praise you for this freedom in this country. We thank you, Lord, for the word that's going to go forth in strength and in power and in might today. We thank you that lives will be touched. We thank you that people will hear and recognize what God is saying to them individually through this show today. You get the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Praise God. All right, we're in Matthew 12 today. One Sabbath, Jesus was strolling with his disciples through a field of ripe grain, hungry. See, they were human. Yeah, all of them, even Jesus. Hungry, the disciples were pulling off the heads of grain and munching on them. That's probably like one of those great grain cereals, you know.
Which I had for breakfast this
Did
morning.
You? Yes, those are good. And some Pharisees reported them to Jesus. Your disciples are breaking the Sabbath rules. Oh my. Constantly the religious leaders were looking for something to accuse Jesus about. Correct, Pastor Jim? It was all
Absolutely.
The time. All the time. They were constantly looking. And so in verse 3 of Matthew 12, Jesus says, really? I like that in the Message Bible. The way he says it in the Message Bible. Really? Didn't you ever read what David and his companions did when they were hungry? How they entered the sanctuary and ate fresh bread off the altar, bread that no one but the priests were allowed to eat? And didn't you ever read in God's law that priests carrying out their temple duties break Sabbath rules all the time? It's not held against them. All right, Pastor Jim, will you explain what is going on here? And why this became such a big deal here, why the religious leaders were so upset with the disciples and Jesus for eating this grain on the Sabbath.
Because I'm sure they considered picking the grain to be work.
Aha, that was why.
And you're not supposed to do that.
Right.
And then you know, the situation with David is he was being chased by Saul, went to the priests, and Abiathar the priest, I believe it was, gave him the showbread.
Right.
Which
exactly.
Which is actually only for the priests, but David was hungry, and Abiathar knew that David was the anointed of God.
Right.
And he wanted him to survive, so he gave him and his men the showbread off
right.
the altar, which, true, it was really only for the priests.
Right.
And yeah, sometimes the priests would have to break the Sabbath by doing work. If the seventh day after a child was born, male child, you know, circumcised on the eighth day. If it was
right.
the eighth day, that's work.
Right.
But they still did it because that loss, in a sense, superseded.
Superseded,
the other.
Yes. And don't you find, Pastor Jim, that all through the Gospels, when we're talking about the life of Jesus as he walked this earth, constantly the religious leaders were upset with him. Constantly they were nitpicking him and looking for something that they could, you know, point out that he was doing wrong, don't you think?
Well, yeah, but let's be honest. Jesus tended to upset that apple cart a number of times anyway.
Right.
You know, I mean, I don't want to say provoke, that's a little too strong, but something
right.
would happen, well, when he would heal on the Sabbath.
Right.
And they would get upset.
Right.
Because that was considered work on the Sabbath. And he set them straight.
Exactly.
Which he had to, because, well, I'm sure we'll get to it a little bit later on. Jesus says, look, this is what Sabbath is really all about.
Right. We are going to get to that. Yes. But, you know, even today in our culture being different than this, of course, there are still religious people who are constantly nitpicking people of God and trying to get them to do certain things or not do certain things. There are churches out there that still, you know, believe that you can't, I don't know, women can't wear pants. I suppose there's still some of that out there, don't you think? Probably.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it's legalism. It's
right. That's what I'm saying.
It's not Jewish legalism. It's Christian legalism.
Right.
And it puts God in a box.
Right. Absolutely.
And puts us in a box, because if you don't believe the way I do, if you don't dress the way I do, you're not as holy as I am. You're not as in with God as I am if you don't do all the things I do. Well, that's just...
But this is a typical thing the devil does, to rile people up about God's people, you know, what they're doing, something to... The devil is constantly the accuser of the brethren. That's Revelation 12, 10 to 12. And it says the accuser of the brethren looks for somebody. John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I came to life to give you life and to give it abundantly. The devil's always trying to do this kind of stuff, PJ.
Well, plus, if the devil can make you think you've earned grace on your own merit.
Ah, ha, ha. Yes, that's excellent.
Then
point.
You don't need God.
Right. And a lot of times the rules and regulations cause people to think that if they're just good enough and perfect enough. Cindy from Indy, are you on the line?
Yeah. Hey, everybody.
Hey, good to see you.
Hey, Cindy.
Yes.
Hi, PJ.
Hey.
Trying to get acclimated to my new work schedule. I'm a third shifter now.
Ooh. Yeah. Kind of crazy, isn't it?
Kind of, yeah. I'm not getting enough sleep, probably. Some days too much.
But, oh, wow.
Yeah. Beautiful weather we're having up here. It's starting to become spring.
Oh.
So.
In fact, I remember seeing that the groundhog did see his shadow, right? Or didn't. One or the other. Anyway, it's supposed to be in early spring.
Early spring.
Whatever
early
he
spring.
Did or didn't do, I don't know.
Right.
I don't keep up with that groundhog up there in wherever that is, New York, Poughkeepsie or wherever.
Nah, you don't have to worry about all that down there, do you?
No, don't worry about it, because we just always have nice weather. So,
right.
As you know, you used to live here. So.
Jealous.
Yes, yes. God's been doing some great things in your life, Cindy, and answers to prayer. And in even though we have these amazing things that happen in our lives and we see God's hand of grace and mercy and working things out, the devil's always right there trying to cause somebody to stir up against us, isn't he?
comes to try to steal it away.
Right.
Like you said, steal it, kill it, destroy it.
Right.
And, you know, you don't see that coming because you just think everything's beautiful and God's just blessed me and I'm over here in happy land.
In happy land.
And then you go to work one day and there it is. There's somebody there to cause you grief.
Exactly.
A family member.
Or a family member.
Or something happens, an illness.
Right.
Something to bring. My father had some heart trouble this past week.
Okay.
It was sudden. It was unexpected. It was fearful. And it was, you know, the devil just stirring up everybody's peace. And
sure.
Yeah, but, you know, prayer works. And we
got
him home, and he's on some heart meds, and we're waiting on a stress test. And, you know, he's a little weak and tired from all that, but... we're a little worried about him, so keep him in prayer.
Okay.
And just stuff like that, you know. Life is gravy, and then one day, you know. But, you know, you can't, and there's a lot of outside circumstances going on, you know, with my kids and stuff. But
sure.
I have a testimony, a good blessing, a praise.
Okay.
Praise God. My son and his wife restored their marriage.
Oh, praise God.
That's Mike and Kelly. Yeah.
Yeah, Mike and Kelly, they've been separated probably a good year now and just tore up both of them. But I feel a lot of peace and a lot of God's work going on there. So,
praise God.
Still need prayer, but that's been a long time coming. So,
but, you know, God. Go ahead.
Yeah,
go.
Just in the midst of the devil trying to throw darts at you and bust your balloon, God still gives you those wonderful blessings of answered prayer.
You know, we can't even stress that enough, Cindy. I'm glad you brought that up because that's something we have been praying about for quite a while, Mike and Kelly and their little daughters and their whole situation. And I think so often, Cindy and Pastor Jim, a lot of times we grow weary in pray. And a lot of people are taught that you pray once and that's the end of it. No, you know, the Bible says pray without ceasing, you know, and be diligent in your prayer. And you want to comment to that, PJ, about that?
Well, yeah. I mean, some people would quote the verse, ask and it shall be given. The tense there is present. And in the Greek, that means a continuous action.
That's Matthew 7, continually asking. And
Yes. Ask and keep on asking, and
right.
You shall receive.
Right.
Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking.
Right.
It's not just I've asked, I'm, you know.
But you know what happens a lot of times when people have that impression that it's ask once, forget it, and then the devil has convinced them that if they ask again, they weren't believing.
Right.
You know? But... we live in such a fluid day, all day long, in that all kinds of things happen, and it's easy to lose your faith over a situation when you've only prayed once. It's easy for the devil to get in there and talk to you and say, you know, Cindy, probably times here in the last year and a half with all this going on with your kids, there have been many times, I'm sure, that you were discouraged with the situation, whatever. And that's why God says, keep on praying. I mean, keep on reminding God. Talk to me about that, Cindy. I like that it is present progressive, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Ask and keep on asking. Yes, yeah, seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. That's what it really says in Matthew 7. But go ahead, Cindy.
Well, there's the big picture of some of that stuff, like with your kids or a family member that you're trying to, that you want God to change or wake up or, you know, you want them to see the light and you just keep beating your head.
Right.
Trying to make it happen yourself. But when you finally give that to God and just pray that he will take care of it,
mm-hmm.
and then every time it arises, like every time I see that child or every time I think of her or when I'm reminded, then I just brush it off very quickly and say, God, take this again, take it off my shoulders.
Yes.
I don't let that worry stay with me and just continue to pray it to him. That's the kind of thing. But, you know, there are those, I have those short, quick prayers, one-timers too.
We all do.
God, you got this, right? Yes, you got this. And I don't worry about it no more. And that's just some of the small stuff, you know.
Oh, that's good. Those quick prayers.
You ask him one time, and he'll take care of it. Because
right.
He always hears our prayers, whether we pray one time or 100 times. He hears all of them.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Pastor Jimmy wants to comment on that,
yeah,
Cindy.
Well, I was going to say, and sometimes, you know, one quick prayer is all it takes. But sometimes, yeah, I agree with Cindy.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to persevere in prayer.
Yes, yes.
Like that shamelessly persistent person in Luke that, you know, Jesus told the parable about.
Right. Just kept at it.
Sometimes we have to do that because, you know, like Daniel.
Right.
He prayed and it took the angel 21 days to get there because the angel was having to fight his way through the spiritual realm to get to Daniel.
Exactly.
To deliver the revelation to him. And sometimes that's what we're up against. So, yeah, keep praying.
You know, we're up against a spiritual world that a lot of people don't like to acknowledge or believe is there. Angels, demonic spirits, Satan working against the word and against God's will for our lives. But people, it is real. All this is real. And, you know, there are always going to be those, shall we say, nitpickers who try to their best to accuse, are used by the devil to discourage, to tell us, oh, well, God's not, he's too busy for that. Don't bother God with that. That's too much for him. And, you know, or who are not flexible. And I love verse 6. Let's look at it in Matthew 12. Jesus said, there's far more here at stake than religion. That's very interesting. If you had any idea what the scripture meant, I prefer a flexible heart to an inflexible ritual. You wouldn't be nitpicking like this, it says in the Message Bible. That's where I got that word. The Son of Man is no lackey to the Sabbath. He's in charge. So, Pastor Jim, talk to us about those two or three verses. That's a quote that Jesus quoted, Hosea chapter 6, verse 6.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. Jesus was always quoting the word, wasn't he, from the Old Testament? He knew the word. He was the word. He is the word.
He knew it, and he was able to quote it.
Yeah.
You know, because here they were right. In a sense, you know, they were saying that you're not supposed to do any work on the Sabbath. Well, Jesus comes back with two examples.
Right.
Of where the law, the Torah was broken.
Right.
But it was for good. And of course he goes on later on in this chapter and does it again. But he says here, he quotes Hosea, I desire mercy and
yes.
not sacrifice.
Mercy and not sacrifice.
Because so many times we feel comfortable with the rituals, the trappings of religion.
Right.
Because it's a framework. Like
right.
I said earlier, kind of keeping God in a little box. It's a framework that
it's predictable.
We can be comfortable with that.
Right.
Well, God's not comfortable.
No.
He's not comfortable to be around sometimes. And I don't mean
And
that.
You can't keep him in a box either.
Right. Because he can break out of it.
All the time.
Because that's what Jesus is saying here. It's not the rituals that you're doing.
Right.
It's what's behind it. It's faith. It's mercy.
That's
what lies behind the law.
Yes.
You know, he says, you know, that's the heart of the law.
Right.
Is love and justice and mercy.
Right.
And then he says, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath.
Right.
You know? And that must have raised a few eyebrows.
Oh,
because,
yeah.
you know, it was God himself who created the Sabbath. So here Jesus saying, and the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.
Right.
And I'm sure that took them back a little bit.
Absolutely. But, you know, it is so interesting that even this happened 2,000 years ago. This same kind of mentality is still around today where people are comfortable with their ritual. They're comfortable with their Hail Marys, if you will. You know, things like this. They're comfortable with a routine, instead of really allowing God to mold and change their hearts. That's what Jesus is talking about here. Relate to that, and then Cindy, we'll get to Cindy here next.
Instead of the outside structure, it's kind of, I don't know why this popped into my head, but as a biology teacher, you'll remember, insects have exoskeletons.
Absolutely, they do.
Outside.
Right.
And that's what this would be, those rituals, mm-hmm. kind of outside. It's protective.
Yes.
And yet, true faith comes from inside, an inside skeleton, which leaves you rather vulnerable on the outside.
That's true. No, very good, because our bones are on the inside of humans. That's good. Mm-hmm. And insects, yeah, the exoskeleton, that excellent metaphor. So, Cindy, talk to us about this, because people get so hung up on judging others. Really, this is what we're talking about here, that religious judgment that happens where people think things have to be a certain way and they don't allow for mercy and grace in situations. You know, do you know what I'm saying?
Well, I think that some of that not wanting to change or get outside of their comfort zone is fear.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, and the devil puts that fear on them and tells them you can't do it any other way. This
right.
This is the way you do it every Sunday. This is the way we do it. And then with that fear comes the, you know, suspicious thinking and accusations and, of course, all the, you know, internal stuff that goes on in churches when everybody starts nitpicking at each
right.
other.
Right, exactly. And in families and in, yeah, you know, workplaces.
Yeah, it's
and
really big in, you know, in churches, which is why a lot of people don't
that's
feel
right.
comfortable even going to an organized church.
That's exactly right.
Anymore. But, yeah, it's everywhere. We want everybody to be like us or think like we do. And
that's true, Cindy.
Our thinking is the only right way. It is, you know.
Yeah.
So we want everybody to think like us. And so anybody that's different, it brings fear.
It does. And it's so common. You're right. In churches, in families, in workplaces where people expect everybody to conform to the way they think, you know, an old matriarch mama that wants the kids to all end up being the certain exactly way, do what she wants done, or grandkids or whatever, causes a lot of problems in a lot of families and a lot of religious situations. You're right about that.
My mother says, "You're all so different. I don't understand. None of you kids are anything alike." And, you know, and I don't know what she expects us to be like, you know. So,
but you know what? But that's a good point, Cindy.
I'm the weirdo, you know. I'm the religious nut.
Yeah, you are. So, you're the religious one, yeah.
I'm that crazy one. So, but I'll take that.
But, you know, it is the same in a lot of our families, that I've always said that how can two same people, like my ex-husband and I, have three such different children? Two parents, same parents, three such different children in so many ways, the way they look, the way they behave, their values. I mean, there's just a lot of differences in my three kids. But you know what? God loves diversity. Mm-hmm. He loves it, Pastor Jim.
He created them like that.
Exactly. Awesome. Exactly. Cindy, your mother probably appreciates every one of you for the attributes that you have. But I think mm-hmm. a lot of times parents do say, well, why can't you be more like your brother? Or why can't you, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of stuff. And you're right. God created us differently and diversely.
How any two could be so so far apart on the scale.
Well, my great-granddaughters, you know, the baby twins, A and B, Aaliyah and Briley, they are in the womb. My granddaughter knew who was B and who was A by the behavior, which is very interesting. In fact, she used to call baby A or baby B, bad, B for bad, because she was the one, B is the one that punches. She's the one that in utero.
She was fighting around in there, huh?
And you know what, yeah. Cindy, Pastor Jim, when they were born, we could start seeing those same personality traits. We would laugh about their differences. They're still, even though they are identical twin baby girls and they look exactly alike, they are not exactly alike. God has created them differently and they have different personalities. Pastor Jim wants to comment on that and then we'll go to you, Cindy.
Well, it'd be an awfully boring world,
right,
if we all looked the same, if we all acted the same, talked the same. Yeah, dressed the same. But God is kind of an intricate little diversity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
So, that's true.
So we ourselves, I mean, right. Yeah. He made us diverse. He made all, think of all the diversity of the animals.
Right.
I mean, I think that really pleases God. It's certainly not boring.
No.
And
no, and that's a really good example. The variety of dogs, let's say.
Oh yeah.
You know? Cats seem to look more alike to me, but dogs don't. But
well, yeah, and I think that, you know, we think of just human beings. If we all thought the same,
oh my!
I can't even imagine. I mean, and sure, sometimes that diversity causes issues.
Sure,
families, churches, communities, because diversity can sometimes be hard to get used to.
Right,
and yet, you know, God does not lay down anything except to whosoever will.
Right, right. And he's not saying that we all have to think alike and all that.
Unity does not mean uniformity.
But it all does center around the person of Jesus, which we all must agree and believe with our hearts and receive him as our personal Lord and Savior. So, yeah, Cindy, talked to us about this. We've kind of gotten off on a tangent, but I think it's kind of an interesting one, actually, that we don't talk about much.
Sitting here thinking, wow, we're just getting off on another subject here, and this is just going all over the place.
I know it. It is, isn't it?
Now I'm over here, and I'm over here lost.
Okay.
I don't know what to say.
Well, you know, let's go back to verse 6, and then we'll pull it back. Jesus says there's far more at stake here than religion. And he says, I prefer a flexible heart to an inflexible ritual. And I think what this first little passage in Matthew 12 is really talking about is the condition of our heart. If our heart is judgmental, if our heart is, okay, everybody's got to do it this way, or I'm, you know, blah, 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 that, you know, that inflexibility, Jesus is saying, I want you to have flexible hearts. Pastor Jim, comment on that.
Well, I was thinking of the kind of a parallel parable, the wineskins.
Yes, yes. You know,
Jesus said you don't pour new wine into an old wineskin, and one that's all dried up, because it's lost its flexibility.
Right.
And that new wine, as it ages, is going to gas up, and it's going to have to expand. Only a new fresh wineskin can do that, something that's going to stretch.
Right.
The old wineskin is going to burst.
Right.
And that's so true. I mean, it goes along with what Jesus said here. If we're inflexible, we'll break.
Right.
We'll shatter. When God begins to move, if we're not flexible to accept it,
yes,
we won't expand. We won't be shaped by what's going on, by this move of God. Will be broken by it, and that's what we don't want to happen, because that's what happened here.
Exactly. And this is what happens to a lot of people when something different comes into a service, or there's a move of God and God does something fresh and new, and people are on their knees and crying out to God, or the altar is packed with people, and or people are, you know, they come up for prayer and they're instantly healed, and or whatever. And so often this is so weird to a lot of people that they go out like these Pharisees grumbling, like, that's weird. That's terrible. That's crazy. I don't want to be a part of that. That's just, I like church to be a certain thing. Like,
when you go to church, you should sit quietly in the pew, put your hands together to pray, stand on verses 1, 2, and 4.
And that is not.
That's not it.
Jesus is talking here about flexibility. Cindy, does that bring it back to you as far as what we're trying to accomplish here or say here on this point?
I'm with the conversation now.
Okay.
You know what? I'm in my car and I'm looking at the wooded trees at my old place. I'm in Newcastle. Okay.
Okay.
My parents today. And,
all right.
I was just totally engulfed in God's creation, and just the beauty. I was just at so much peace there for a minute.
Praise God. That's
so
good.
You know, what brought to mind after I had gone to Cornerstone for a little while, when I would go into another church, I'd want to raise my hands and praise like we openly, freely do in our services, and I would feel intimidated and look around and nobody else would be doing that. And
good.
It's kind of like a halfway up kind of praise motion going there.
Yes.
You know, that brings back thoughts of things like that where you feel...
Exactly.
People are so in such ritual that you're out of place and you fear everybody's going to be staring at you because you're different. But, yeah.
But
it's...
This is good, what you're saying, Cindy, because this is a good example, because what happened when Jesus went back to heaven? He, you know, the Holy Spirit, he said, stay here, disciples, and wait for the Holy Spirit, you know, in Acts chapter 1. And they did, 120 of them waited day by day in the upper room waiting. They weren't exactly sure what was about to happen. Mm-hmm. But when the Holy Spirit came and descended upon them, and then they were speaking in tongues, they suddenly had the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, wait here for the, because you need the power. You can't minister correctly without the power. But it's this very power of the Almighty God that absolutely frightens so many people. And when they're around people, and like you mentioned our church in Indiana, Cindy, we just allow the Holy Spirit to move like we do here at Beacon of Hope. And so many times crazy things would happen, right? I mean, not crazy, just mighty moves of God where people couldn't even stand up for the power of God was so strong upon them. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, and that would stir so much excitement up in all the believers. And
right.
We anticipated it in the services.
That's true.
And,
yeah.
You know, that's how we can live our life today, is anticipating God's supernatural move.
Amen.
On our life. And I love that just expectation of what is he going to do next.
Woo, yeah.
What blessing next is he going to bestow upon me?
Oh, amen.
Yeah, just expectation of his supernatural power. Have you seen that? I'm just sitting here thinking about this movie. Have you seen that movie Woodlawn about the football players?
No. Uh-uh.
Oh, my goodness. You'll love it because you love football.
Yeah.
Sports in general. But, yeah, it's a high school team, and... they are on the brink of the big win this season and all this, and they're downtrodden. And God sends a young man, just a nobody, to just say, hey, you know, give Jesus a try. Can I pray with you? I mean, you know, you guys don't have anything to lose. But the supernatural Holy Spirit came on the whole team when this guy preached to them some word out of the Bible, and then ask them all, did they want to get on Team Jesus? And
wow,
the Holy Spirit converted every single player on
Woo!
The team, and the coach said, what just happened? But it was one of those, you know, moves of God. That
there you go.
Moves,
yes.
You know it's him.
Yes. Whoa, which leads me to this song, People Need the Lord, and they so do. And dear audience member out there, you need the Lord. We all need God so much in our lives. Listen to these words by the group Avalon, one of my favorite songs.
Oh, every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Silent grind,
Praise God. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. We each need the Lord. Nan's got a poem there that God just gave her during that song. Let's hear it.
You are my conduits to reach them. Upon you can I now depend? Share the message that you know, letting them know that they can grow. Grow out of the pain that is within, and that upon me they can depend. People are needing for you to share. For them do you now deeply care? So what will it be on this day? Will you teach them that they can pray? I will reach them through your hands, and that they know that they can stand.
Oh, good stuff. Poem. Wow, God's really speaking there. Okay, that was good. Cindy, talk to us. What is God saying to you through all of this?
He's been putting that on my heart for some time now.
What's that?
A few weeks, pressing. A way to tell them. A